Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. And you're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good buddy Rob Levin is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Rob is the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. And he knows all about being a little fish in a big sea of sharks. And yet he's been able to be successful. I've watched him grow from a dream to a bi-monthly or quarterly. Now basically I think it's monthly magazine out there about small business and business issues that in the middle of some pretty heavy competition. And yet he's being successful. It really makes me proud to have seen what he's done. Rob, welcome back, and good for you, buddy.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back on the show.
It's good to have you back. Now, you started out, what was it, bi-monthly or was it quarterly? What was the...
It was quarterly the first year, then bi-monthly for 2 years. Then last year we were 9 times, and now we're monthly.
All right. Well, that's a lesson right there, Rob, for my audience. So you said, all right, let's crawl, let's walk, and then we'll run, right?
Yeah, basically, that was it.
Go ahead.
A lot of it had to do also with overhead, you know. So when I started out, my overhead was small. I mean, it was just me and an intern, so I didn't have to cover a lot of overhead. Now,
right.
You know, I have 7 people. So there's a lot of overhead. So we have to get that issue out every month, so that we're chipping away and obviously, hopefully, generating a bit of a profit.
Well, the reason I point that out, Rob, is because, you know, I see a lot of people who, let's say, they want to start their business is the equivalent of a magazine. It's not a magazine. It's a restaurant or whatever it might be, manufacturing. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But they want to eat the whole thing the first month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want to conquer the world the first month. And I, whenever I've talked to people over the years, I've said, you know, why don't you think about taking a little crawl first? And they say, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm ready to go. And they don't realize, I mean, think of this, Rob. How much, if you'd started out monthly, let's say you started out with more money than you did, and it gave you the financial ability to start out monthly and to publish monthly. Wasn't the mistakes that you made in that first year doing it quarterly much more valuable as a quarterly publication than it would have been as a monthly publication?
Well, it made the mistakes a lot less expensive.
Exactly.
You know, we're still figuring things out here.
you always will. But I mean, yeah. I'm gonna hypothesize something here. Robin, you tell me if you think I'm right. If you had started out with enough money to go monthly day one, I'm going to say you might even have less of a chance of surviving now than you did the way you did it. What do you think?
Given our situation, I would say yes, and two reasons behind it. One is I think the magazine business is a little different than most other businesses in that because you're always growing ad revenues and circulation, and the way those two are tied into each other, it takes a few years to break even, a few more than the typical small business. That's the first thing. Secondly, is with us is we didn't. I thought selling ads was going to be a lot easier than it really is. It's one of the hardest things in the world probably to sell, because you're selling a very intangible thing where it's very tough to quantify the benefits. Although obviously, people now are starting to see them, and we were terrible at it at first. I mean, I was awful at it. And we would have been buried, because that cost of getting that magazine out with the printing and the printing, the editorial, the postage, it gets very expensive.
Even if you had survived, you would have wasted a lot of money because before you knew that you were making mistakes, you would have already spent a lot of money on the old way, wouldn't you?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, folks, this is a lesson. This is a lesson in discipline. It's a lesson in learning your lessons and making small decisions. Making lots of small decisions where the mistakes that you make don't take you down. And I think, Rob, your story, the New York Enterprise Report story over the last 3 or 4 years has been a clinic on how to really launch something and to go slow, as my father used to say, not to get too big for your britches. And I think you did that. We're going to come back. Rob has been profiling three women-owned businesses recently. When we come back, he's going to tell us what he learned from them. It's right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. The godfather of soul, ladies and gentlemen, the late, great James Brown. Classic stuff. He'll never die. And as long as people are spinning records, he'll never die. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Rob Levin. Robert Levin is the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. And Rob, give us that website, please.
nyreport.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. You can find him online. You're still publishing, though, and distributing in the tri-state area, basically, right? New York.
Right, but the website, you know, most of the articles they work for businesses anywhere, and they're just about all accessible online.
All right, so check that out, folks. nyreport.com. Okay, you recently profiled some young ladies who are running businesses. Tell us about them.
Well, we had an event last week. We did it in association with the Women's President's Educational Organization, National Association of Women Business Owners, and the Women's Leadership Exchange. We had an event last week where we profiled three successful women business owners, although there were plenty of men in attendance, and I think all the lessons. I moderated the panel, and I didn't focus on women-related issues. I just figured, you know, they're business people like anyone else.
Right.
Men, women, and the lessons are the same. And there were some fantastic lessons that came out of that panel discussion.
Well, tell us about some of them.
The biggest one, these three women, I guess you can kind of say they're all kind of in the marketing business. They've been doing this anywhere from, I think, 7 to 20 plus years. Hmm. And they work with some very, very large businesses, Fortune 1000 companies. So you got to figure they're very good at what they do, but they never talked about that. All they talked about, well, a lot of what they talked about in terms of growing their business had to do with sales and marketing. In fact, one of the panelists, Julie Levy from a company, Progressive Promotions, she's been doing this for, I think it was around 20 years, promotional products, and again, Fortune 1000 clientele. And she said, you know, it's only in the past 5-6 years where she really started to learn some lessons both about sales and marketing and branding, as well as talent and employees, which to me those are the two things you got to get right in your business. And at the end of the day, I think the number one lesson that was unique among all the panelists or consistent among all the panelists was, you know, yeah, you got to be good at what you do, but you really have to be good at both sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, whether they're just going into business or they've been in business for a long time, they don't think about that. You know, the baker knows how to bake great bread, but the baker who owns the place, the bakery, doesn't really think. Many of them don't think, all right, how do I establish a brand identity? How do I focus on what makes me different?
I think a lot of people, Rob, think the what I call the field of dreams myth. If I build it, they will come, and that's not true.
Well, I mean, you know, there is once in a while there is that story where the product is that good and there's a word of mouth buzz. But
make book on that. You can't take that to the bank.
That's right. And even in that case, I guarantee you there is a strategy behind the word of mouth.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, this marketing thing, Rob, I've said for a long time that one of the two areas that small business owners need to improve their professionalism all the time is marketing. It's not intuitive. We're not good at it.
I agree, and some of the things that they mentioned were, you know, one is don't talk about great customer service. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. One of the exercises when we pick up a new advertiser, one of the smaller, maybe a smaller advertiser, that I go through with them is when they send an ad, I'm not one of those publishers that'll just run the ad. I want to look at it myself and see if it's a good ad.
Yep.
And in many cases, they're saying very generic things. You know, great customer service, low prices, which to me is the worst
right.
thing in the world to say.
Right.
And a bunch of other things. They'll say, great, here, I want you to try something. I'll do this to them over the phone. Take your hand, put it over your logo. Now, imagine your competitor's logo in there. Are they going to be saying anything different? And,
right.
you know, most of the, 9 out of 10 times the answer is no. And I said, well, are you different than your competitor? Yes, of course. Well, tell me how. Tell me how your mm-hmm. customers think you're different.
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on those things in the ad. And let's relate that not to what you do, but to the problems that you solve for your clients.
Right. Right.
And another panelist said something along those lines. She said, you know, I can go in, and this is a really interesting woman, Lisa Bodell, FutureThink. She helps large and some smaller companies with innovation and making innovation a core competency. Very unique and really, really super sharp. And she said, you know, I can go in there and talk about my experience working with financial services for 20 years, et cetera, but you know, what they really want to know is, all right, can you work within my limited budget?
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to and actually solve the problems that the person buying from you has, and you talk about that, you find out what they are, and you focus on that, you have a much better chance of making a sale.
Well, there's no question about it. And you know, what I keep coming back to this one thing that I came up with a few years ago, and it's I just still think it's so relevant. And that is helping people differentiating yourself between what people need and what they want. You know, people need a lot of things, but they won't pay extra for what they need, but they'll pay extra for what they want.
That's right. That's
and if
right.
you can, if you can get to the point where you can identify what people want and give them that and make them believe that you're going to give them what they want beyond. See, to me, what they want is anywhere from a little bit more to everything. And it could be just a little bit more, but it might be everything. And if you can get your people to believe in your marketing and in your delivery, your execution, that's what you're going to give them, you'll never have to talk about price again.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, if you think the people who are really good at selling, you know what they know? They know that people buy emotionally.
That's right.
And that has to do with want over need.
That's exactly right. Hold on to that thought, Rob. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. More to come after these messages with our good friend Rob Levin, the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. That's nyreport.com. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the things that we do here, all the different ways you can listen to the show, streaming, podcasting, et cetera, et cetera. And not only the daily show, but the archives of shows that we've done in the past, all the way back to 99. You can find our Brain Trust members there, 600 plus, the largest community of small business experts in the world, like our good friend Rob Levin, who's with us right now. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can read articles. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. And don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers right now. Rob Levin is our guest, as I said, and we're talking about some of the things that he's learned from some of the people who he's been interviewing and panelists on a recent event that he had. Just turns out that they were all women, all three of these women, and they had some things to tell. Robin, you were talking about what people have learned about customers. You know, in terms of Rob, in terms of the economy being a challenging environment that we have right now, one of the things I've encouraged people to do is quit watching the talking heads on television and start talking to your customers. What do you think?
Well, I quote you all the time with your feelings towards the recession, which is your refusal to take part in it.
Yeah.
I mean, at least once a week I'm quoting on that. And I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you do have to watch the bottom line. And some industries are in are in a more precarious situation when the economy softens up than others. But usually it's a great time, particularly if you are, if you're competing directly or indirectly with larger publicly traded businesses where they, you know, they have millions of shareholders they need to answer to every quarter, so they're usually cutting back on their marketing pretty aggressively. It's the first thing they're going to cut when you're smaller.
And maybe service too.
And right, well, I, to me, service kind of goes under marketing as well.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for a smaller business that could say, you know what, maybe I'll suffer a 10% reduction in profit. I'm just making these numbers up, but maybe I'll suffer that reduction in profit. But I know that I'm building up for the long term, so that when the economy does improve, I'll actually have a bigger slice of the pie.
And you know, Rob, I still believe that even right now, there are people out there, there are enough people. When small business owners get it in their head that they don't need everybody in the world to be successful, they only need a few people. Really, most small businesses really only need a few people to be successful. And there are enough people in most marketplaces who are willing to pay a premium to get what they want, to get customization, to get the best customer service, to be wowed with customer service, to be treated like kings and queens. I believe there are enough people out there who want that enough that they won't care, almost won't care at all how much you charge them.
I absolutely. When you talk about solving people's problems and satisfying their emotional needs and desires, price becomes less of an issue. Whenever a salesperson comes to me and they say, well, they're balking on the price, I actually think we did something wrong in the sales process.
Right.
We really didn't identify their pain.
And at some point in time, do you not say, well, you know what? Maybe we're not right for them.
We do it probably a dozen times a week. We disqualify people pretty heavily. And what's interesting is you're either disqualifying them or you're using what we call a negative sell, which actually works out and sometimes results in a sale, where you say, you know what, I don't think we're right for you. And, you know, if they're not right for you because they don't value your product, then, okay, they walk away. But sometimes they're going to come back and say, well, what do you mean? I think you are right for us.
Wait a minute. What's the matter? Am I not good enough for you? What's wrong? Yeah, here, take my money. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. It can
happen. Yeah, it can happen. Sure. Well, the thing that I say, Rob, all the time is I think small business owners should thank Walmart. And when I say Walmart, I'm saying Walmart metaphorically, because, you know, you're talking about you telling people you're not right, we may not be right for you. You need to let people who won't let you make a profit, you need to let them go somewhere else.
Absolutely. That was another thing that these women all said. We were talking, you know, when you're dealing with big businesses, you might have RFPs, requests for proposals. And they said, look, if you're just trying too hard to get the business and you're not factoring in that you have overhead and other costs, administrative costs, in addition to your cost of goods sold, you know, you're going to end up getting this deal and spending all this manpower and sometimes putting up cash up front and then not making any money in the back end. There's no point to it.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to, if you really can differentiate yourself in the marketplace, you deserve that premium that you get. You don't have to be the low-cost provider. And for those people who want the lowest cost, they need to go to your competitors.
Absolutely. You need to send them there. Hey, Rob, thanks for being here. Good job today. Thanks for all you do for small business.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Rob Levin, ladies and gentlemen. Robert Levin, the New York Enterprise Report, nyreport.com. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.